I invited people to send in pictures of birds that they had been drawing or photographs that they had been taking. So what we're going to do is look at them and reflect with some music. And why? Well, it comes from the scripture that we're going to hear today. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. So as we look on these pictures and listen to the music, let's reflect as we gather to worship on God's value for each one of us, and let's be thankful.
Thank you.
Thank you to Samuel for putting that together. Thank you for all of you sending in your pictures. And maybe some of the time when life gets stressful to remember, if that is how God views the birds, then how will God view each one of us? And from the psalmist. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to me. Redeem me and set me free. So we join together to sing, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Grateful for Sojin and for Hanso and for Rhiannon for leading the music over these weeks. It's been such a blessing, so thank you very much. So let us pray. Lord, we take time to give thanks for your steadfast love. We come as your people, trusting in your abundant mercy. In these strange times with these different forms of worship, may we know your presence with us. We ask that as we stop, we would know that you are near to us. Set us free, that we would be your faithful disciples, whatever that looks like in these new ways. We are sorry for the times when we get our priorities wrong. when we do not put you first, when we fail to see the needs of our neighbours, and when we lack the courage and the faithfulness that we need as your disciples. Lord, grant us forgiveness. Grant us perseverance. And grant us your vision, that we would be able to serve you and play our part in the work of your kingdom. So give us the creativity that we need, Lord Jesus. Set us free from our past. And may we know of your love for us. And then be your people loving in your world. We pray in the name of our Saviour Jesus. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we're going to listen to Teresa James read to us. And Teresa, as another person who's played such a major part in our church's life in this season, and we want to say publicly, thank you, Teresa, for your daily prayers to us. But for now, we will listen as you read.
The reading from Matthew. No pupil is greater than his teacher. No slave is greater than his master. So a pupil should be satisfied to become like his teacher, and a slave like his master. If the head of the family is called Beelzebul, then the members of the family will be called even worse names. So do not be afraid of people. Whatever is now covered up will be uncovered, and every secret will be made known. What I am telling you in the dark, you must repeat in broad daylight. And what you have heard in private, you must announce from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. For only a penny you can buy two sparrows. Yet not one sparrow falls to the ground without your father's consent. As for you, even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. Those who declare publicly that they belong to me, I will do the same for them before my Father in heaven. But those who reject me publicly, I will reject before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the world. No, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set sons against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. Your worst enemies will be the members of your own family. Those who love their father or mother more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who love their son or daughter more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who do not take up their cross and follow in my steps are not fit to be my disciples. Those who try to gain their own life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake will gain it.
So let's listen. A word on fear.
Hello. A warm greeting to you. I'm sorry we can't see one another. And if we've never met before, and if we can help you, give us a call, be glad to speak. And if we have met before and you'd like to have a chat, then you know my number, so do it. The text that I'm preaching from is Matthew 10, verses 24 to 39. So maybe you want to read that before you listen to this, the word of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Do not fear, says Jesus. And the big question for us is, who or what are we afraid of? And when Jesus says, do not fear, I want to reply, that's easy for you to say, Jesus, because you're Jesus. But it clearly doesn't mean give up all fear. There's a ledge. You should be fearful. Should you walk along it? Well, the choice is based on you weighing up the risks and being conscious of the pack of lions that's coming up behind you. But the truth is that generally, fear is a disabling thing. Fear of conflict, fear of suffering, fear of the unknown, fear of the other, the one that doesn't look like you. And the command is to avoid fear becoming the basis of your life. The other thing that needs to be said is that some people are not aware of the fact that they are acting out of fear. And to be curious about why we are doing what we are doing and why we are feeling what we are feeling and wondering whether fear is at the back of it. And then to wonder, what is it that I am afraid of? Fear as a mechanism has been used by people to manipulate the populace. Think of Hitler. If we together fear them, then we will have a stronger sense of who we are, because who we are is we are people who hate them. And it's dangerous. And fear in politics can be manipulative. Jesus recognizes that fear will cause a failure in discipleship. A faithful proclamation of the gospel of the good news will lead to clashes with the powers of this world. To be frightened of conflict will lead to an underplaying of the gospel. In many people, there's a strong developed muscle to avoid all conflict. And Jesus makes it clear that if you are to be his follower, then conflict is going to happen. If you want to do the right thing, then there will be pushback. Of course, some need to be aware that they need to stop always looking for a fight. It's not helpful. And the reason it's not helpful, above all others, is that people stop listening. But if you are going to try to improve anything, change things, then conflict is going to be part of the deal. At this time, for some, there is an inertia that says, I can hear that settee shouting, sit here, put on the telly. Stop. The grind of the day isn't immediate. And hey, all that work we can pick up later. But to be frightened of change is to do nothing. It is the path to decay, and it is the path to avoiding the call of Jesus Christ. But why does Jesus mention all those dreadful things that could happen to the disciples? Why does he spell it out? Why doesn't he just keep it as a bit of a surprise? The answer is because the first step in loosening the grip of fear is to name it. And the question for many in a time like this is, what are we frightened of? How much of the way that we are living is not based on the science, but on fear, or a swashbuckling reversal of that? There are things that we need to avoid. Not everything is wise, but there also is a need for us to acknowledge to ourselves and to work to get those things that we need to live life to the full. Company, creativity, rest, mental stimulation, physical exertion. It's not good enough to lock ourselves away and think that that's all that we need to do. Avoidance is no basis for life. It might be that we need now to explore some of the things that the church had on offer since it all started. We didn't need them then, but maybe now we do. The disciples are told not to fear those who can kill them, those who can destroy the body. Don't be frightened of them, says Jesus. It is God who can destroy everything about us into eternity. But just as a footnote, God can doesn't mean that God will. God is not an unsecure, ego-driven power. God is secure enough to care for the sparrows that nobody else cares about. All those others that people think of as worthless. God can love us completely and still think we need to change. So this has been a season of living with the threat of death. And that is traumatizing. And I wonder whether we've given enough time to explore what that has meant to us. Death for us, and death for those that we love. And yes, of course, there are many who are white, slim, young, not living with diabetes or any other health condition. But others have become aware that we are in risk groups. And for some, it's been a game changer. And for those who had a certain view of themselves as fit and healthy, suddenly the grey guy with the scythe is walking about. Who invited him? Or if he's not about, we know that he has told us he is coming to the party. We don't want him here. But there is a fear in that. Somewhere in the mix is about spending a bit of time wondering about life after death. About seeing that physical life is not everything. It's a part of a bigger whole. Our views on life after death may seem a bit esoteric and something to be kept for later, but actually, how you view life after death is a game changer in terms of the way that life is lived. How do you view illness? If there is no judgment, then morality has changed. But maybe that's just too much for now. An honest faith-filled agnosticism is acceptable. The message of the passage is that to be a follower of Jesus Christ will involve us in conflict. We cannot avoid it. And if we make a point of avoiding it, then we will lose everything because we will deny the one that we say that we serve. And there are times when, as a follower of Jesus Christ, in our journeys into holiness, we have to say things and do things that will bring us into conflict, with the very least, with our own desires for ease. Currently, the call for those who are followers of Jesus Christ and for lots of others is to speak about race. For Kingston Light Reformed Church, we have started already to look at the composition of our eldership. We started doing this before George Floyd died, but his death has increased the momentum. We need black and minority ethnic elders. We have some, we need more. And we need to hear voices from different sections of our community and people with different views on life, how it is and how it is lived. We also know that we have an issue that we need more younger people on the eldership as well. Now, if the elders kept their head down and did nothing about this, then chances are nobody would notice and nobody would say anything. And there wouldn't be any discord. Life would just ripple on as before. And those who came to the church and looked at the composition of the elders' meeting and were disappointed would quietly leave the church. And that would include white people as well as black. But if you raise it, there will be different views. Most of those different views will be about process, how to increase inclusion. But it must be done. For some, that is frightening. And the fear has to be put to one side, because there are times when to be a follower of Jesus, as the disciples are finding out, you have to step out. There are bigger issues in life than how comfortable am I? Amen.
So let's pray. In this time of COVID-19, Lord, we pray. When we aren't sure, Lord, keep us calm. When information comes from all sides, correct and not, help us to discern. And when fear makes it hard to breathe and anxiety seems to be the order of the day, slow us down, Lord our God. Help us to reach out our hearts when we can't reach out our hands. Help us to be socially connected when we have to be socially distant. And help us to love as perfectly as we can, because we remember that perfect love casts out all fear. For the doctors and the nurses, we pray. For all the support staff, the cooks in the kitchens and the cleaners, the aides and the caregivers, Lord, we pray. For the researchers and the theorists, the epidemiologists and the investigators. For those who are sick. For those who are grieving. For all who are affected all around the world, we pray for safety, for health, for resources, for wholeness. And for those overcome by fear for their future, for the future of those that they love, the young and the old, overwhelmed by fear and anxiety for the world that we live in. Lord, help us to put our fear in your hands. and to do what we can. And may we be among those who, in our small ways, feed the hungry, give drink to those who are thirsty. Help us, O God, that we might help each other. In the love of the Creator, in the name of the Healer, and in the life of the Spirit that is in all and with all, Lord, we pray. May it be so. Amen. Some notices? Wouldn't be a proper service of worship if there weren't notices, would it? Be grateful I'm not coming around your house banging on the door and chucking a collection bag under your nose. Well, our next podcast, the current one that Chris is working on, is nearly ready to go. The next one is going to be, what does the Holy Spirit mean to you? What does the Holy Spirit mean to you? So please write me your thoughts. Record your thoughts even better. What does the Holy Spirit mean to you? Of course, during this time of lockdown, the work of the church goes on, which needs to be paid for. So if you need somebody to walk a check down to the building, we can do that. Currently now, you could post, if you are a person who works in the world of checks, you could post them into the building, and Catherine is there enough to put them in the safe, and that will be okay. As we move forward, it feels like a good opportunity to maybe do a bit of decorating. And certainly there'll be a job of moving stuff around. And if you would be up for volunteering, then would you let me know, please? We're very aware that although we try to communicate with everybody, there will be people that we've missed out. And you may or may not know that we post out sermons to people who aren't on Zoom. If you we've tried, but you know what? There will be people we've missed. And I guess the first few days when we come out of this thing, I'll be spending my time on the phone apologising to people. But if you know anybody that we've missed, would you let us know and we'll add them to our list? When we finish today, we will go into groups. If you'd like to hang around and chat, that would be great. And maybe if you don't want to do that, maybe you could pick up the phone and speak to somebody, and you could, if you feel a bit of a twit doing it, just say, that blooming Leslie Charlton, she made me do it. I don't know, but I'm here, and how are you? And just, you know, I know that sometimes it's a bit awkward, but, you know, communication with each other, it's essential. And the final thing to tell you is that Rebecca Geraghty Staunton, who once upon a time was Rebecca Seymour, Rebecca has broken her foot in the middle of all of this. So she's trying to do her nursing from home and do her work in the office with a broken foot and two little kids and a husband who's also working full time. So remember Rebecca and Tim in this time. So let's be still, and I will offer the offering prayer, and I would like you to think about the offering that you are making on this day. Lord God, we bring to you the ordinary things of life, food and drink and money. And with them we bring ourselves. Take us and our gifts of money to do your work in the world. Take this food and drink from our tables and feed us from your table with your love. Accept the praise we offer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We gather at the Lord's table. We remember Jesus, born of Mary, who lived our common life on the earth, who suffered and died for us. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And he is always present with us through the Holy Spirit. And in his presence and in the company of the saints, past, present and to come, we celebrate the supper of the Lord. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you, and you with me. And here again the words of the institution of this feast, as they are given by the Apostle Paul. For I received the Lord from the Lord what I also handed unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for the earth you have created, for the grain that has grown, and for the making of bread. We praise you for Jesus, the Christ, the bread of life, whose body was given for us. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us and this loaf, that the bread which we break may be to us the communion in the body of Christ, and that we may be made one in him. And as of old you fed your people in the wilderness, so feed us, that we would live to your praise. We thank you, O God, that you cause the vine to yield fruit. We bless you for Christ, the true vine, whose blood was poured out for us. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us and this wine, that the cup which we bless may be to us the communion in the blood of Christ, and that through abiding in him, we may bear fruit that will last. And as we will be called to share the suffering of Christ, give us grace that we would know the power of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it. He took the cup, wine poured out. This is my body, he said, it is broken for you. The body of Christ. This is my blood, he said, it is shed for you. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that have taken holy things. May the ears that have heard your word be deaf to clamour and dispute. May the eyes that have seen your great love shine with the light of hope. May the tongues that have sung your praise also speak the truth. May the feet that have walked to gather with your people ever walk in the light. And may the bodies that have tasted your living body be restored to newness of life. Thanks be to God for his gift beyond words. Thank you. Amen. So I'm not just putting this in to suck up to anybody who has associations with the Boys Brigade, because I'm putting it in because I think it's the right hymn. So we join together to sing, Will Your Anchor Hold? So after this, we'll get into groups. Those of you who have, who can and who want to, it'd be great to have a chance to talk. If you need something, give us a call and we'll do what we can to make it happen. God bless us in the week ahead. So let's invite Martin to unmute us all and we'll say the grace to one another.
Grace of the Lord.
Your first one. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
be with us
now and forevermore.
Amen.